You're listening to the podcast of Hillside Christian Fellowship. Hillside is a community of believers in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's message.
Good morning. I think this table is almost as big as I am. Does this come with a step stool? Is that me? Okay. We bought a table. And I got to be the one to buy it to make sure it was a good height. So, well, hey, it's really great to be with you guys today. My wife Sharon is here. Yay. We're actually heading to the beach this afternoon for a couple days. Yeah. Something called the COVID kind of shut everything down. And so we're taking it back. So I bring greetings from Christ Community Church. So we love you guys. Ron, thanks for sharing that. I really appreciate that. I remember that day with you guys. I literally do, in that little corner office right there. It was my hangout place, and I remember that. Sharon was asking me on my way up, you know, about how does it feel, and I said, you know, I have such great memories. I feel like I cut my teeth on ministry here more than I did at my first 10 years at Christ Community. So I learned a lot in my 2 years here, and it's because of the church. It's because of the people that are part of this church. So thank you for that. Thanks for helping invest in me. So you guys invested in me too. So I want to share a word with you that actually Abby, in the song that you wrote, part of the chorus is my message, so I feel like I don't even need to preach. We could all just go home and have lunch early. So so it's kind of crazy, just everything that's been going on. You know, first the whole COVID thing hit, and then everybody got their bearings, and then all these horrible prejudice acts started to happen, and you know, you're figuring out, what do you do with that? Do we have a racism issue? Do we not? And you know, just working through all that, and then things are starting to open back up and then shutting back down, and then you've got masks or no masks and quarantine or no quarantine, and this is a conspiracy theory, and this is the reality, and this is, you know, the government, and this is us, and this is just like, I mean, the stories that I've heard and the videos I've watched, you know, of all the things that might be behind everything that's been happening. It's kind of comical in some ways too, you know. So one person said, I got to tell this, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but I heard, and this is not a Democrat versus Republican thing, so don't hear it as that. But somebody sent us something something about that the virus started because Nancy Pelosi put, and this is not a cut on Nancy, don't hear this, I would say no matter who the name was, that she put the virus in like an air gun and shot it into the atmosphere. So there's a lot of stuff going on out there. I do not believe that happened. So there's a lot of stuff going on out there. And it's pretty crazy. But this is a time for the church to be the church. Like no other time before. I'm telling you, the harvest is ripe. The earth is waiting for the children of God to be revealed. Actually longing for that, like trying to draw us into the place where we finally are revealing who we really are. I love what we're doing here. You know, I love that we're doing it. Hello, online family. I love that. I love gathering together, and I believe that's the heart of the Father, that we are to gather together as the church, to be encouraged, to worship. Something powerful happens when we worship together. Something powerful happens when we hear a message and we walk out and we do it. How many of you were encouraged by Dale's testimony today? It stirs up. You know, a testimony, the word testimony means do it again. Like, do it in my life. Heal me of this, or breakthrough in this area of my life. It means we share testimony so that we can be encouraged that God sees our situation and he's actively working on my behalf, just like he is on Dale's behalf. And so it's so important that we get here. But this right here is only part of what the church is to be. This is only part of it. The rest of it happens when we walk back out those doors. That's when the sons and daughters of God are revealed. I mean, sure, we get revealed to each other in here, but this is not where our light is supposed to shine. foremost. It's when we walk out those doors. But somehow we get so comfortable in liking this more than we like that. See, this is not game day. So much of the church views our gatherings on Sunday as everything leads up to Sunday, and Sunday is the ultimate of everything. No, it's for us to get together, encourage each other, and say, don't you give up. You go out there and you bring Jesus out there. You go back into your home and you strengthen that marriage, or you go back and you do this. Don't give up on believing for your healing. It's a great shot in the arm. But this is the locker room. This isn't the game. The game is out when we walk out of this building. That's the game. Of all, now I don't follow sports a lot. Those of you who know me know that I don't. But I have never, ever heard an athlete ever say, I changed my diet. I spent hours in practice. I spent hours in therapy. I spent hours and weeks in strategizing for my sport to just stay in the locker room. Has anybody ever heard of that? That's why they did what they did. No Olympic athlete ever did that. No football pro player ever did that. They did what they did because they wanted to play the game. This is the locker room. So we've got to stop looking at this as the big game day. This is locker room. Come on, what are we going to do? We're going to have a huddle here in the locker room. And then when we walk out the door, that's when the game starts. That's when the church gets to be the church. And the world needs to see us. And they need to hear us. And they need the presence of Jesus that we bring. How does the presence of God get out there in the world? Could God just fall everywhere? He does. But he chooses to use me, you and me, to bring his presence everywhere we go. You all either work, or you have family, or you have a neighborhood, or you grocery shop, or you go to the mall, or when it's open. Or you pump gas beside another person, we go into the world. You may not go into a foreign country, but I'm telling you, sometimes our backyard is just as much of a foreign country as going to getting on a plane and going to an actual foreign country. And they need Jesus just as much as anybody else around the world. And God's called us to be the church. You know, in the book of Acts, I love the book of Acts. I've actually been lately reading it in the Passion Translation to get it from a different perspective. And it's really interesting, some of the truths that, I mean, I grew up in the church, and some new things that I'm learning and seeing that I've never learned and saw before. And so I've just really been encouraged by that. And in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit falls on them in the upper room, we love that, don't we? I love that story. I love to pray for that, believe for that to happen. You know, God, do it again, do it again, do it again. And as charismatics, we love, oh, yes, fall on me. Yes, the speaking in tongues. Yes, the gifts of the Spirit prophesy over me. I want to feel good. I want to fall over under the Spirit and lay out in the Spirit. And those are all wonderful things. I'm not putting that down at all. I love those things too. But as charismatics, we like to think that that's what the upper room was about. That was actually a prerequisite for what the upper room was about. The upper room was about the sending. It was the huddle in the locker room. It was, okay, come on, here we go. Jesus is gone, and now we have the Holy Spirit. So now we are the ones that are going to go out there, and we're going to take on the world, and we're going to bring Jesus to this world. So it wasn't just about, let's feel good under the presence of the Lord. That's important to get that, to get filled. We have to get filled on a regular basis, but we got to go on a regular basis too. We just tend to like the receiving and the outpouring more than we like the sending and the going and the doing. And we've got to see that in God's heart, it's not one or the other. It's yes, both. Yes, get filled, but get filled so you can go. Don't get filled so you can just feel good. Get filled so you can go, because the world is waiting for us. And you and I, guys, we have the answer. We know what this world needs. We should. So, you know, I was during quarantine, you know, again, there was so much da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And just even the bashing on social media, I'm like, come on, church. Come on, be the church. Be the voice of wisdom and reason. You know, now, let's not banter and bash each other, because it was, you know, we chose at Christ Community to close our physical doors for on Sunday mornings for a season, and we were online. We felt, as we talked, that was the thing we were supposed to do. We don't condemn anybody who didn't do that, and we don't condemn anybody who did do that. We did what we felt like we were supposed to do as Christ Community. So we did that. And then you just saw a bunch of people. Some of them were people that I went to college with, or some of them were people even in our own church, or other people that I would see that were like, we should have never stopped. It's the heart of the Lord that we should have never stopped. And we're doing this and we're doing that. And this is wrong and this is wrong. And there was so many people that were so passionate and spent so much time and energy writing on social media again, day after day after day after day. I heard you 20 days ago. You don't have to say it again. So just kept posting and kept spending all this time and all this energy and all this effort into wanting to say we should be back in church. I said to Sharon one day, I was like, I wish somebody would put this much passion into being the church. I didn't see anybody posting about what they were doing to be the church. Everybody was posting about, I want my rear end in a church seat in a church building. And I don't believe that's the heart of the Father. I mean, yes, to be here, but it's both. And everybody was so passionate about getting back into a church building instead of being passionate about, hey, we're not allowed to be there, so what can I do a little bit different? Yep. Okay. Hey, he's speaking to me on this too, so I'm sharing my pain with you. So how do we do this? So I have just a couple things. How do we be the church? How do we show up? It starts with love. I think everything starts with love. 1 John 3:18 and 19 says this, my dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. Let's practice it. Love in action. This is the only way we'll know we're living truly, living in God's reality. See, compassion is not feeling sorry for someone. Compassion is actually being stirred in a very deep way to want to change somebody's situation. We saw it so many times with Jesus. Jesus, it says, if you read in the Bible, it's probably the NIV, I think, but you read so many different times that it says Jesus was moved with compassion, then he healed somebody, then he taught, then he touched, then he did this, then he did that, he performed a miracle. Jesus was moved with compassion. And I believe that that's what opened up the door to so many of his miracles. So we have to have compassion at a Jesus kind of level. Compassion is looking beyond the flesh and looking into the heart of the person with a desire to change another person's situation. It actually means to leave them in a different condition than we first found them in. How many of you could say when Jesus was moved with compassion, he left people in a different condition than when he first met them, even minutes later? That's what it means to be moved with compassion, to help change somebody's situation or somebody's condition. His love was love in action. I believe that his compassion is what opened up the door to so many different miracles, like feeding hungry people, healing sick people, raising the dead, changing people's situation, like the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. It was compassion. When he met the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, do you know that that was a racist thing? That they didn't hang out together, Samaritans and Jews. The Jews really looked down on the Samaritans. So for a Jew, Jesus, to meet with them, that was a statement in and of itself. That was an expression of compassion. But he sat there at the well, and he knew this woman's past, right? And this woman just started to explain, yeah, the five husbands and all this kind of stuff. But Jesus didn't lecture her. Jesus didn't tell her what God would say about that. Is that right or is that wrong? Jesus loved her. Jesus was moved with compassion. And then she went back and told other people what had happened. I believe it was because of the compassion. Have you guys watched any of this series? Not the horror movie called The Chosen. There is a horror movie out there. I told somebody to Google and they're like, you mean watch this? This, you know, no, please don't watch a horror flick. But it's, have you guys watched this series at all?
Whoa.
The way Jesus sees Mary Magdalene in that, I've watched that a number of times and it still moves me. His encounter with Nicodemus, Jesus saw people. He saw them as they truly were. The world needs us to be moved with compassion and see them as they are. And then help change their situation. Not go out with, I'm going to make a difference. It's great to feel that way. I want to make a difference. But to be moved to the compassion at the forefront of our ministry is vital. It's vital. It's vital. Do you know the word ministry? Do you know all of us are called into full-time ministry? It's not just people who do it as part of their income, but we're all called to do that because the word ministry means to serve people wholeheartedly. It means to do good to people. That simplifies the word ministry, huh? So how many of you would say now you're called to full-time ministry to do good to people and to serve people wholeheartedly? Great, four of us. Okay. Let me say that again. No. That's what Jesus did. Full-time, he did good to people. And he served people wholeheartedly. That's why he had the impact that he had. That's why he was able to accomplish what he did on the earth. So listen to this. 1 John 3:17 says this. If anyone has this world's goods, resources for sustaining life, and sees his brother and fellow believer in need, yet closes his heart of compassion against him, how can the love of God live and remain in him? That's a warning for you and I to not let compassion slip away from our hearts, to keep it at the forefront, to see with compassion, to hear with compassion, to speak with compassion, to type on social media with compassion, to be stirred and motivated first by compassion. So what it means when it says, beware of those who close their heart to compassion, the phrase close his heart means to see someone, to hear what's going on in their life, to see the situation, to be deeply moved, and then pull back, close the door, and turn the other way. Close an eye, close an ear. Beware of when he's saying, beware of that happening. Don't turn your ear away. Don't let your heart become numb. Be full of compassion for people. Another thing, so besides being stirred with compassion, we have to literally show up. We can't hide away in our homes. We can't hide away here in a building like this. We can't hide away with just believers. We have to show up on the scene. And showing up is showing up at school. It's showing up at your workplace. It's showing up when you're grocery shopping. I am usually a man on a mission wherever I go, whatever I'm doing. If I'm at the grocery store, I'm there to shop. If I'm, you know, pumping gas, I'm there to pump gas, you know. And so I have to watch myself to be able to engage in opportunities that the Lord is providing. So I have to fill you in on this later, but I forgot to tell you this. But a guy that I've been kept running into, we're both marching band dads. And I kept running into the grocery store. Like every time I would go to the grocery store, this guy was there. And we started to tease each other like, you're following me, aren't you? And so we just kept joking about that. I haven't seen him in the grocery store, obviously, for a long time. Not everybody's shopping these days. But he called me the other day and wants to get together because he's a recovering alcoholic and wants to get together and wants to talk. You know, and the opportunities, if I didn't choose to engage in the store instead of be a man on a mission, I'm here to get eggs, I'm here to get milk and a loaf of bread and get out the door because I got other things to do. We have to take time to show up wherever we go. So what does that look like? Part of that looks like we have to accept the fact that every one of us in this room was given breath for a very specific purpose. And your purpose is different than my purpose. You have surroundings, you have people in your life that I did not have access to. You have skills, gifts, callings, anointings that I do not have, and I have some that you do not have. And we might both, like Abby and I both lead worship. We both have a musical gifting, but we both have a completely different anointing. And we both use our skills and gifts in similar ways, but in very different ways because we're two different people. God gave everybody in this room and everybody who's watching online, gave us a calling that is unique. And he thought about how he wired you. He thought about how he made you. I am very right-brained and creative, but I'm also very left-brained and administrative and organized. It's a very weird mix. I grew up feeling like an absolute oddball. I seriously did. I'm like, nobody else is. Everybody's either fully right brain and they're like, hey, we'll show up when we show up, and hey, we'll stay as long as we want to stay, and hey, I'll figure out what I'm going to wear when I open up the closet doors, and you know. And then there's the left brain people are very, everything's and there's no room for creativity, there's no room for right brain people. Left brain people have to make space for right brain people, and so I'm like, why am I not one or the other? Why am I so both? But then somebody stopped me and prophesied over me and said, you've been asking your entire life, I am a very weird mix. How does this all flow? He said, beware, because there will come a day when you will realize how you were wired, and the Lord will use both those sides of you for good. And I'm seeing that happen. But that's me. Not everybody in this room is very right and very left at the same time. I think we both have a little bit of at least one side and strong in the other. But so God made us creative. We got to figure out what that is. What is our skill set? Ask yourself questions like, what makes, if you don't know what your calling is, and why the Lord gave, why he gave you breath. There's a reason behind that. You were not given breath to walk the earth, go to school, punch a time card, if they even do time cards anymore. We were not created just for that. There's a reason you were given life. Ask him what that means. I think the greatest way, we can take gift tests, skill tests, talent tests, all these things, and those are all wonderful. And that's been a part of my journey, is taking some of the like strength finders and DISC tests. That's helped me understand myself and know what to stay away from and what to really give myself to. It's been very, very helpful to me to understand myself. But the number one way I have found out what's my calling, why am I here, is through prayer. Show me. You're my dad, Heavenly Father. You're my father. Show me why I have breath. Show me why I'm on the planet. And there's things that he's shown me. I believe my calling morphs over time. I believe there's seasons that it might be this, with seasons that it might be that. And again, I'm not talking about my vocation. I'm talking about just who Tim is, who I've been called to be. So ask him that. Ask him to show you what that is. Ask other people what that is. Ask yourself questions like, what makes me cry? What stirs me? What moves me? I've asked myself those questions, and they've helped morph part of my calling. So I recently was reading in Exodus 35 and 36, and Moses, I love this picture, so stay with me on this. In Exodus 35 and 36, Moses calls the whole community of Israelites together because he's getting ready to they're building the tabernacle, and he's getting ready to furnish his tabernacle. So he gathers everybody together. He says, okay, this is what I need from all of you. Number one, I need all of you to go to your homes and bring us some of the greatest treasures and the greatest things that we can use to adorn and furnish the tabernacle. And number two, I need everybody in this room to bring all of your skill sets, all of your gifts inside. I need you to come, and I need you to serve wholeheartedly, because you're needed in the tabernacle as we set it up and get it ready to go. So it says that everybody went back to their homes, and everybody in the community, the whole community, came back to the tabernacle. And it says they did it willingly and eagerly. How many times did the church maybe unwillingly shows up to something, and definitely not is not always eager, but willingly and eagerly showed up to offer themselves and to offer their furnishings for the tabernacle? And it says that there was way too much stuff that Moses had to say, whoa, time out. Every need has been met. I don't need any more people. I don't need any more things. I can't take anymore. Every single need in the tabernacle has been met. If you and I showed up in the earth and brought our willingness and our eagerness and our giftings and our callings and said, Lord, in my school, how do you want to use me? In my neighborhood, how do you want to use me? At this dinner engagement that I'm having with a couple of friends, just a 2-hour event, what's my calling? How do you want to use me in this way? Sharon and I were praying that as we came up, not just about a sermon, but in all of our connections that we would have. How do you want to use us? What do you want to do in us and through us? Use us for your glory. If every one of us showed up on the planet the way we're supposed to, every need would get met. Every need would get met. We just have to show up. And the great thing is, we don't have to worry about what is it going to look like, because that's the role of the Holy Spirit. He falls upon you and he falls upon me and gives us exactly what we need. So in the book of Acts in chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit falls, there's tongues of fire. People are speaking in tongues. This is not a situation that happened before. When the people were coming in the door and they're asking questions, are these people drunk? What's going on here? And the apostles, they're in the middle of the flow and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit just as much as anybody else in the room. And they can't go, they didn't pull aside and go, hey, do you remember when this happened to Moses? Do you remember when the whole tongues of wood and everybody's speaking it differently? Do you remember that? Okay, now we can explain it. Hey, do you remember when this happened to Noah? Do you remember when this happened? No, there was no precedent for this. I believe it was the discernment and of the Holy Spirit in that moment that says that Peter got up, they asked questions, and he explained the phenomenon that he had never seen before. Because of the Holy Spirit. See, when the Holy Spirit touches you and touches me, anything can happen. So you don't have to worry about, I'm still working through my addiction. I'm still not healed yet. I'm still healing from abuse in my life. And the Lord cares about this stuff. Listen, I'm still healing from things. But we can't let that be our excuse to not show up. See, when the Holy Spirit touched David, he killed Goliath. When the Holy Spirit touched Esther, she broke a curse of racism that was about to happen, and she broke that off and set her people free, the Jews. When the Holy Spirit touched Solomon, he became wise. When the Holy Spirit touched Elijah, he outran a chariot. See, anything's possible. When the Holy Spirit touched Noah, he built an ark, and all the animals in the entire world came. Think about it. When the Holy Spirit touched a man named Bezalel in Exodus 35 and 36, he became a craftsman in crafting gold and silver. When the Holy Spirit comes and falls on you and touches you, anything is possible. Any word can come out of your mouth in a moment that a word is needed to be spoken. You can lay hands on people. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you can lay hands on people and see people healed. Things shift and change. So we just have to receive him and invite him into the equation with us. So I encourage you, ask him why you have breath. Ask him and see what he says. I believe he's like, come on, somebody ask me. Ask him and see what he says. So one final thought. I want to pray for you guys. I believe more than ever before, we, the church, have to live in a place of discernment. We have to discern what the Lord is doing. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only speak what the Father gives to me to speak. Was Jesus a puppet? No, he wasn't a puppet. He was so in tune to the Father. He knew what was needed in every situation. He knew how to minister, how to do good, how to wholeheartedly serve people in the moment, because he was so connected to his Heavenly Father. And we have to live in that place of discernment, that we know exactly what he's doing in every situation. Because I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of opinions out there about everything going on in the world. There's a lot of theories out there. There's a lot being said. There's a lot of people that need to close their mouth and put their fingers away from typing on social media. There's a lot going on. And you and I have got to be in a place of discernment if we want to be the answer and bring the word that is needed in every situation. We have got to live in a place of discernment. In John chapter 10, Jesus is describing himself as a shepherd, and he says, "My sheep know my voice." I'm actually studying for a sermon that I'm doing in a couple weeks, so you guys get to get a little bit of a preview of this. So, but when a shepherd is raising sheep, I've never raised sheep before, so I'm not an expert. I've just been doing some research on it. He talks to his sheep as he feeds them. He talks to his sheep as he takes care of them. He talks to his sheep. They hear his voice continually. And that's how they get trained to know their shepherd's voice. That's how they get trained. So if James and I were shepherds, and he had, 100 sheep, and I had 100 sheep, but we shared a pen, we shared a fenced-in area for a sheep, which is very common back in the days of the Bible, to share the sheep pen. His sheep would know his voice, and my sheep would know my voice, because we've trained them to be that way. So if my wife Sharon comes into the sheep pen and she's never been around our sheep and she tries to call them, the sheep are not going to respond to her. Why? Because they don't know her voice. Why? Because their ears have been trained to hear their shepherd's voice. So if anybody in this room were to show up, sheep wouldn't move. If I showed up and called my sheep, my 100 sheep would come to me, but not James's 100 sheep. Why? Because James's sheep know James's voice and my sheep know my voice. So why is this important? We have got to be so in tune with the voice of the Lord that all the opinions, all the things going on in the world, because guys, I think we just scratched the surface on more things to come in the future. Who knows? Who knows what tomorrow looks like? We might have to wear body wraps. We have got to be discerning. So why do our sheep only come to us? Because when my sheep hear my voice, they know what's attached to my voice. They know that security and protection is attached to my voice. They know that supply, food, water is attached to my voice. They know that green pastures and rest are attached to my voice. They know movement, leaving the pen and going somewhere else, is attached to my voice. So when they hear my voice, they're tuned in to know that's the voice who provides for me. That's the voice who protects me. That's the voice of the one who watches over me. That's the voice of the one who fights off the wolves. So in that moment, no other voice matters but the voice of my shepherd. And Jesus is saying, in the midst of times like this, know my voice, because I'll speak something to you that's going to be very different than what you're hearing in the world. But the problem that we have is not our ability to hear the voice of the Lord, because we've all been given access to that. Our issue is we're listening to other voices instead of the voice of the Lord, and we're taking our cues from other people. See, what the world doesn't need right now is they don't need another opinion. They don't need another theory. They don't need another person venting. They don't need another ounce of anger. They need some compassion. And they need voices that are intertwined with the voice of the Lord to speak wisdom and to speak breakthrough and to give answers. That's what it means to be the church. And that's what you and I have to be in this time right now. I'm not talking about next week. I'm saying today. They have got to hear our voices. And we have got to be those that think before we speak. Be slow to speak, or quick to listen and slow to speak. Or let's say it this way, quick to listen and slow to type. That's what the church needs to be about right now. And Sharon and I have just talked. I've just been so grieved by the church and what they've been doing on social media. But they don't need our opinion. Opinions are great. I have opinions on things that are going on. Sharon has opinions on things going on. We all have opinions on stuff that's going on in our world. What's right, what's not right, how much mask is good and how much mask is bad and how much of this, how much is that. We just have to all of that gone. I have people sending me on a regular basis prophetic words and videos and some Christian videos and some just videos of doctors and all this stuff. And it's all, well, maybe not all of it. A lot of it is really good stuff. And I really felt like about two or three weeks ago that the Holy Spirit was even calling me to discern what videos to watch, to discern what words to read. Not that they were all off, the ones that I don't read. I don't mean that at all. But I feel like there's such a war for my ears and my brain right now that I have to quiet other voices, even great voices. Hear me. Some of them are great voices. I just feel like I'm being barraged by so many voices that I have to choose wisely the voices I want to listen to right now so that I can hear the voice of the Lord. And the world is longing for us to lead the way. You know, you've heard that phrase, the leading voice, like, well, let me give an example. Gosh, I should have had an example of this. Coca-Cola is a leading voice in soda beverages. You know, and what that means, the leading voice means they have an important voice in speaking about soda beverages. They have an important voice. We should stop what we're doing and listen to that voice because they know what they're talking about. They have experience, they have background, and they are important at that. Well, you and I, we're the leading voice in the kingdom of God. You may not feel like it, because honestly, I don't always feel like I'm a leading voice in it, but we are, because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Therefore, we have the leading voice inside of us. We should be speaking what the Father is speaking and stopping and listening in these days to really grasp what He's up to and do that and speak that and maybe close our lips once in a while to really only speak what He's saying in pivotal moments. So I believe these are some of the things that the Lord's just been stirring in my heart for what it means to be the church. So let me pray for you. Can we stand? It's really weird to watch yourself 30, 40 seconds behind. Catch up! So let's just put our hands on our hearts. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you right now. We welcome you right now. Come. I pray right now, come and visit my friends, visit their households in unprecedented ways. I pray first and foremost over each one in this room that they would be stirred with more compassion, and everybody watching online would be stirred with more compassion than they've ever known before. May our hearts break for what your heart breaks for. May we be moved to tears at what you're moved to tears at. But may we be moved to laughter at what you move to laughter at. May we just be moved with compassion for the people in front of us, Lord God, for what you're doing and what you're up to, so that we can change their situation. They're longing for someone to show up and change their situation, and we get to do that. So may we be moved with compassion, and may we have the boldness to show up, to just show up. You might feel like a broken person. You may feel like someone who's still on your journey, but show up anyways, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world that you're trying to minister to. So just show up with your, you know, the Lord started calling me. I really strongly battled anxiety back in 2013, like drastically bad, and panic attacks. But even before I was completely healed, and I'm still feel like I'm healing in progress. But even before I felt like I got through the hardest part, the Lord called me to start ministering to people who were battling anxiety. And I said, absolutely not. I have to be healed first. And He said, absolutely not. You know better how to show the way out than somebody who's never battled it before. And you're in it. So don't just speak to them. Go and hear them and love on them and show them the way out. So I just declare in Jesus' name, boldness to show up no matter how we feel, no matter what we feel like we have or we don't have, but we're going to show up and be the light and be the change and be the answer for the world. And I just pray for my friends right now, just a double dose of anointing of discernment to see what you're doing, Father, to hear what you're speaking and do that. do that. One thing that the Lord was, as he was really increasing my ability to hear for other people, this is probably, I don't know, 15 years ago, I felt like I was sitting at the keyboard at the end of service and he showed me something and I thought it was a prophetic song that I was supposed to sing. So I opened up my mouth and he said, whoa, 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 whoa. Sometimes I speak because I want you to do something. Sometimes I speak because I'm wanting you to pray into something because it's something I want to do and I want you to partner with me in seeing it happen. And sometimes I show you something and I want you to do absolutely nothing because as a dad to his son, I just want to show you what I'm doing. So I pray right now the discernment for us to know what to do with what we see and hear from you and to walk it out, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys. Sharon and I love you. Thanks for letting us be with you guys today.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information on the ministry of Hillside Christian Fellowship, go to our website at www.hillsidechristian.org.